Well, you know how much I get excited when we have an in-studio guest, because today we've managed to fill up the calendar with all kinds of people, and one of my favorite people is actually hanging out with us now. I'd like to welcome to the show right now, Wendy. Wendy, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
See, I'm good, but I don't really know how we're supposed to refer to you. Do we call you the weather girl, the balloon girl? all of the above?
All of the above, with a couple more probably titles added to that as well.
Yes, I love Wendy. And actually, when I started working here back in 2022, you and I became quick friends.
Yes.
So I've been following you on Facebook for a long, long time. Yes. And so she makes the most beautiful balloons for events. And
thank
so
you.
I want to go ahead and plug your business now. Your business is called?
Carried Away Creations.
And it's actually located in?
Douglas, Georgia, but I'm relocating at home, so it's moving to Pridgen, Georgia. So I'm not going out of business. I'm just moving home with it.
Relocation.
Relocation is the best.
It's a relocation. Now, she is so talented, and actually, we were talking outside of the studio just a few minutes ago about how long balloons actually stay blowed up, because I'm a little confused. And you said, well, the ones you get, the cheaper ones are not the same thickness,
right.
I guess.
Mine are decorator quality, so they're a lot thicker, so they will last a lot longer.
Yeah.
I've had some last, this week I replaced some at a, this guy's house,
right,
his room for his special needs, and when he
was it
that.
April,
it's done in April, and we I set reset him up yesterday, so those balloons had lasted 6 months.
6 months, and that's where I got really confused, because I'm like, wait, 6 months, man, the ones I get from town, they last like a day.
Yes. Like, these last a long time.
And you said, no, these last much longer. And
they're
I was
a lot
like, oh.
thicker, so they're a higher quality balloon.
Right. Well, what kind of events do you do?
Corporate events, birthday parties, showers, weddings, homecoming, prom.
Right.
Anything that needs balloons where you can make a balloon, make a difference, I'm there.
And she also has a love for weather, so she posts a lot of weather pics, and she follows the weather as just like I do. So this is kind of been like an all-in-one hit for all of us at this point, because, you know, last year we were talking about Helene, and I think you and I probably sent a few text messages prior to Helene. And, you know, I think we were looking at the tracks and stuff, and so we were like, okay, what do you think? What do you think? So anyway, so then, of course, Helene came in. But I want to take a step back before we start talking about Hurricane Helene. I want to talk about President Jimmy Carter, because you were actually hired to do something that was very important that you were getting ready to handle.
Yes.
And kind of tell us how that story went.
So I had seen a post about former President Jimmy Carter's 100th birthday celebration in America, and I had contacted them about going and doing the balloons. I was actually going to donate that because of who it was for and what it was for, so I was going to go to America's and do that. And like I said, this was probably 2 or 3 weeks prior to Helene hitting that I actually went and met with them. And fast forward to Helene, and my plans changed.
Right.
I actually, because the Helene hit Thursday, Friday, his event was October 1st or 2nd, so it's like the next week. And I made the balloons, got the balloons ready, and set up all night, because over there it was going to be a party. Everybody's going to be having fun and celebrating, where at Coffee County, we're still recovering from Helene. We're all still hurting. We've still got damage. I've got people, neighbors that don't have power, don't have food. They were literally eating crackers and cheese because they couldn't get out of their driveways. And my gut would not let me go. So I actually loaded up the balloons that morning, was headed to America's, physically got sick, and did a U-turn, called them, told them I would not be showing up with balloons, and came back and served my community.
And I want to take a step back real quick from that, and that gives me chill bumps. See the hairs on my arms starting to stand
there,
up.
Oh, there's an even bigger story than that. I don't know.
So when you went to go over to America's for this big event, and you pull out with all these balloons, I mean, are you having a hard time getting to a main road? I mean, what are the conditions like initially when you went to leave?
I didn't get out of Coffee County. Like, my gut, my soul, I guess is the right way to say it. My being would not let me leave. I could not leave. I could, my town was hurting, and I couldn't go physically go to somewhere they're celebrating. I mean, I know who it was for. It was honorable, but I had people and family and friends that were suffering, and they didn't have any help, and I wanted to help in some way capacity.
Right, and you know, I had boots on ground over here, so I was trying to figure out initially when all this was going on how to get the radio station back up and running. But I was still following your post when I had cell phone service because we were staying at Dad's house and driving to and from. And so I was able to see what everybody was doing, who could post and who had cell phone service, to see what was out there. So I could take that information and screenshot it so it would be on my phone when I got back down here so that I would be able to pass that information along once we got back up on the air. And I had noticed that you had said, oh, yeah, you know, I had this big event, but I'm not going now. God had other plans for me.
Yes, he did.
So now, you know, that's taking on a huge community project because all of a sudden you're saying, oh, okay, my friends, my neighbors, they all need help. I'm going to help them. How do you come up with food for all of those people?
That was the God thing. So I got back to my shop. I knew my checking account didn't have enough money to feed everybody. I'm from Pridgen, Georgia. If you don't know where Pridgen is, it's between Broxton and Jacksonville. It's a little community. If you pass through it, there's no red light. You've already went by it before you've known you've hit it. And so it's smaller than Graham.
Right.
And I was in my shop. I went back to my shop, and I was on the floor, and I was crying, and I was praying. I was like, God, I can't do this. I don't have the money for this. So I need you to open some doors because I've got to feed you people because people are up there. They're hungry. They're starving.
Right.
And I mean, this because by this time it was 4 or 5 days post Helene. So yeah, we're still talking. Everybody's lost everything in the refrigerators. They can't get out to get ice. They can't get out to get food. And I was literally sitting in my store and praying and got a message on Facebook from Josh Fryer and Sarah Fryer. I went to church with his mom and dad years ago, and he was going out of town, and there was his dad is a broker for a trucking company, and somehow, some way, a semi brought, let's back up, it was God back then that did this,
right?
But a truck showed up with refrigerated goods to Walmart distribution in Douglas, and they don't have refrigeration storage, so they're dry goods or no refrigeration. Well, the broker got it. They gave it out. They gave out their meat. It was like sandwich meats. Mm-hmm. So they gave out all the sandwich meats back in when he got here, whatever month that was. And they gave to the food bank. They gave it for churches. And they had some extra, so they carried some home.
Right.
And Josh is like, I've got what I thought was 35 packages of turkey meat.
Okay.
In my refrigerator or my deep freezer frozen.
Mm-hmm.
He said, so you're welcome to that. Whatever you can use, you're welcome to it. So here I am thinking 35 packs. So if I feed 100 people, that's 100 people who didn't have food who have food.
Right.
So I get to his, he gives me the code to his house. We get in his house. We get to his freezer. Y'all, it was 35 or 40 boxes.
Oh my gosh.
Cases that had 9 packages of sandwich meat per case.
Wow.
So we had all of that. So we had the meat taken care of.
Yes.
I thought, well, I can go buy the brown sandwich bags and then the Ziploc bags, and I can go get some potato chips, and then I'm like, I need bread.
Okay.
But by this time, nobody had bread.
Right.
Locally. None of the bread stores that you could drive to had bread, or stores in Douglas. And one of my friends called me. She was on the road, Andrea Taylor, and she said, what do you need? She was in Athens for her work.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, what do you need? I said, I need bread. She said, well, I got a friend that's trying to get a hold of somebody in Thomasville. I said, just give me the number. Let me bypass the middle person.
Right.
Let me just call this guy. So I called the guy, and it was probably 10, 15 minutes till 5. And I called him and told him what the situation was. And he said, well, I don't know. Right now, I don't have anything, but give me until the morning to locate you some stuff. I said, okay, that's fine. Within 15 minutes or less, he calls back and he says, well, he said, I got some news for you. I said, I found you some bread. I said, you did?
Wow.
He said, one of my route drivers is actually in McRae. McRae also got hit, but McRae didn't have, the school didn't have power. They had 83 loaves of bread.
Oh,
I
my
said,
gosh.
How many sandwiches will that make? Right. He said, you'll make about 900 sandwiches if you use it. So
yeah.
I said, he said, how much do you want? I said, all of it. I've got a community to feed.
Right.
So the bread was free. I got the Jacksonville store. They gave me the mayonnaise and the mustard. I bought potato chips, and I did a video, and donations started coming in, so I was able to buy more potato chips and more stuff that we needed for that. We had water donated from the Salvation Army through the EMA office. The firefighters brought that out to us. So we had that, and then that was the first day, but me and my mom, my friend Haley, and her mother, Tedica, and Haley's little girl, we went, the chamber, the Douglas, shout out to the Douglas Chamber of Commerce. They let us use the downstairs atrium event center because we still had, we had power in downtown Douglas. And we used their kitchen to prepare all the sandwiches and the brown paper sack lunches for all the people. We had coolers donated that we could borrow. We got ice. And then we prepared 600 sandwiches, but then there was families I knew that had 5 or 6 or 7 in a household that were having to live together. So we were giving out loaves of bread and packages of meat because they had coolers. They had coolers. So we gave out enough bread and sandwich meat for 900 people the first day we were out there.
That's a lot of people.
Well, it might not have been the first whole day, but within a few days, we had the 900 sandwiches gone and the bread.
That's insane. And, you know, I think because you and I are very much so motivated and driven. So, you know, like having an event like former President Jimmy Carter's right. event, you know, that's really a big honor. And, you know, yes. you think in the back of your mind, like, oh, my gosh, I've got this great big honor. But then in the bottom of your heart, it's just tugging at you because you're like,
it's people.
I can't leave my people. And I think I had like something very similar happen, which I'll tell you about a little bit later on. And that was one reason why I was refusing to leave from down here initially the first 2 days that we were here. Because I felt like I just couldn't, you know, and my family was like, no, you need to get out of there. Like, y'all don't have power. You don't. And I'll be honest, I sat here at the station and I preached to everybody to load up on supplies.
Yes.
And I believed that the hurricane was coming to us. Like, there was nothing about that I didn't believe. But because I've worked at the radio station in the past during a storm, just never crossed my mind that, oh, have we checked our house? Do we have enough stuff? Right. If we had to do that?
Exactly.
No, because I'm usually at the radio station. So, yeah, so, like, I think, like, there's a point where, like, you're like, oh, you know, you're really disappointed in one way, but then, you know, you just have this big heart tugging, and it's just saying, I can't leave people to go party, basically.
Right, I mean, that's what it was. They were having the big celebration. It was a formal event. It was this big, huge event, and I would have loved to have gone. I just couldn't leave. My gut would not let me leave Coffee County.
So 900 sandwiches is what kicked it off. Now, yes. How in the world, because you posted it, and I think I shared it at some point. And at one point, I did take it and brought it into the studio. We started broadcasting it as well.
Yes, we appreciate you so much for doing that because you put the word out for so many people.
Well, you know, and that's the thing. And I think, you know, my previous time broadcasting in Southern Alabama and seeing like Hurricane Michael come through and the devastation and working with the people then, and it was just days upon days of people calling the radio station, I'm trapped, I need help, I don't have food. So I think like we just kind of go into work mode at that point. And, like, I could have stayed in this radio station 24 hours a day if it would have helped somebody find food, water, or gas. You know, at that point, it's like, how do we get this information out?
Right. And that's me with this whole thing. It's, I served the community till I think it was, like, maybe the last week in October, 1st November, we were still cooking. Those few weeks of being able to do that with no pay was more rewarding than a lot of things I've done in my life.
I agree.
Being able to help somebody, that was the key.
And I think it takes a person with an extremely generous heart to be able to walk away from an event like that and say, oh, okay, you know, my place, God's got a calling and my place right now is here.
Yep.
And I'm going to accept that because I think like all too often we fight with God's will on what we want to do.
Right.
Because we usually push forward to the thing we want the most. And, you know, and I think for you, like, that was a really hard decision to make. And you could have gone either way. And either way for you would have been rewarding. But God was telling you, and he was laying it on your heart, like, these people need you, and you've got to eat. They've got to eat.
They've
got
to eat. And it was almost some 2 to 3 weeks without power. I didn't have, because I had a fire, but we'll talk about that later. So I didn't have power for, like, 2 to 3 months at my house. But being able to be there and do what I did. I think we kept up with the daily record of everybody who we served with just the meals. And we did care packages as well. But with the meals, overall, there was almost 5,000 meals. Because the first 3 days when we tallied it up, because we had a church, my cousin's church from Fitzgerald, they brought chicken and rice on Friday night and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. So what we had left over there, we carried to Douglas and went to the Sandridge, Oak Park, and we gave out food there. But for those first 3 days, which was a Thursday, Friday and Saturday, we gave out 1,582 meals.
So I have to ask you a question because, you know, I wasn't out on the front of the line. So, like, I was in this building trying to figure out how to get equipment up and running and power running. And I've always said that, like, you know, I'd really like to be able to go out in the community and maybe serve maybe during the holidays. What is it like when you have that many people, there's no time to breathe, You know what I'm saying? You don't have a lot of time to even catch your breath, or maybe even for you to eat at that point. I mean, what's going through your mind while you're seeing all these people come in? Is it heart-wrenching for you?
Yes. We had, I had a group of amazing, well, a lot of my community members came together. Mm-hmm. We had volunteers that were up there. We actually set up at the Smith's Watermelon Shed in Pridgen, and they let us use their facility to store all the water, and we had, like I said, care package stuff, so we stored water there, but we used their parking lot because it's got a drive-through.
Oh, okay.
So we were able to put up a tent, and right. kind of we had two-way radios with this. We had people taking down names, information, how many bags they needed. People were running bags back into, water back into. So
wow.
We were very organized and very structured with how we did all this to make sure people were in and out as quick as we could get them in and out.
And, you know, I think like a big part of this, no matter where you were at in Southeast Georgia when Hurricane Helene hit us, was that everybody stood up and said, where do I go to help?
Yep.
Who am I helping?
The community right. came together. Like, everybody in their local areas, whether it was Douglas, Baxley, Pridgen, Broxton, Ambrose, everybody, neighbors came out and were helping neighbors.
They were helping
That's
each
what
other.
We do.
Exactly. And, you know, I think, like, that was a very important part. And for us, we were very blessed to have our neighbors to help us because immediately after the devastation that was caused here in Georgia, it went to North Carolina. And not to say that our need was, you know, worse than theirs, but we had so many people down here who were suffering, and then they had an even worse disaster up there.
Right.
You know, unimaginable stuff happening, and, you know, you're reading about it on social media, and you're just thinking, how can it get any worse than what we have? And then you see this news come out, and it's like, OMG. You know, like, oh my gosh. Like, how do we even help those people as well? So I think, like, going through something like this really changes you as an individual.
Oh, it does. It really does.
And it really kind of puts into perspective, you know, who you are and what God's will is for you, and learning to obey, per se, what God is directing you to do with your life. And I think that the fact that you were able to organize the people, organize that much food, and get everybody running in a smooth, efficient way, when some people can't even throw parties that run smooth and efficient.
I've been in this industry too long. And at my old church, I was the events coordinator, so I'm used to making sure everything goes like
right.
clockwork.
And like just
knowing
like
what to do. The experience. Everything, like right. they say, your life is nothing but experiences that help you with something else. And that whole, everything I experienced at church, doing all the stuff I did there, helped me to be able to do what I did with that.
See, so. And I think that's really important. Like, sometimes we take for granted some of the things that we have learned in the past, and then something will happen in the present, and you're like, oh my gosh,
mm-hmm.
I'm really glad I did that.
But I had, when I say I had an amazing group of volunteers, it wasn't just me,
mm-hmm.
it was a team. And we've labeled ourselves the Pridgen Crisis Team, the
Aww.
PCTs. So we've Ed's Bait and Tackle, Dawn and Warren, we use their facility for storage for all the care packages and stuff that was brought in, canned goods and stuff, and basically just basic necessities to
right.
hygiene products and stuff. So we stored that up there, and they handled that part with diapers and also with wipes and formula and everything else. They handled that part, where I sat over here and handled all the food part. They were over that part of their shop,
just overseeing. And how did the donations for that start trickling in? Did you put out something on Facebook?
I did not. Okay, as far as the care packages, people crossed your path for a reason. So
right.
There's a couple that's, I think they live in the Baxley area. They're from the Baxley area. I taught her in Sunday school, so I watched her grow up.
Yeah.
And then they're pastors now. And somebody in Jacksonville called them, and Mr. Muncy, Pastor Muncy, he called them and said, where do we take supplies to? Who do you know that needs supplies? What do you, like, they had gas for generators. They had all kind of stuff for us. Tools. They went to Sam's and got peanut butter and jelly. They got bread. They got crackers.
Wow.
Canned goods. So they started out with that. So they contacted my friends here. Well, then another church found out where they were taking their stuff. So they brought stuff to us too from Taylor Church out of Jacksonville, Florida. So it's the second
wow.
church. Well, we also had some local members, neighbors in Pridgen. They were members of different organizations. So
yeah.
We had the Georgia Farm Bureau board from Atlanta. I think they brought some stuff down. The FFA Georgia group, they brought some stuff down. We had Miss Patty with Patty Payne with the American Saving Americans Disaster Relief out of Atlanta. She also knew Pastor Muncy. Mm-hmm. So she contacted him and said, who do you know that needs supplies? Because they actually had a semi, if they had a flatbed trailer and a U-Haul full of stuff. They were 2 hours away from their destination in North Carolina. The driver, Matt, he was from Oxford, Alabama. So they had driven all the way from Oxford, Alabama through Atlanta, picked up some more stuff and was headed to North Carolina, got 2 hours away. And the person, their contact person there called, said, do not come. We have nowhere to put your stuff.
Oh my
gosh. She contacted Pastor Muncy. Pastor Muncy sent her my information. She called us and they showed up with all this stuff for us.
Oh, wow.
And he called me. He said, I've got $600 in cash. What do you need? I said, hot dogs, hamburgers, hamburger buns, hot dog buns.
Right.
But get it in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. That way people around here that are hitting the bread stores, hitting the Walmart. That way we're not, our local people here are having to travel even further. You're on the north side coming down. Get it up there. So they got all that. So we had hot dogs and hamburgers a lot.
Wow. That's okay, though, because I'll tell you.
It was food.
Loved a hamburger hot dog.
We grilled so much, and it was so much fun.
But now you had, and I saw this posted because you were talking about the people who came from, I call it the Midwest or whatever. I don't really guess it is. It's still considered the South over in Mississippi.
Yes.
Where they came down and they actually, they were cooking Cajun type
yes,
food.
Yes. So,
and, oh my gosh.
My friends, they nicknamed themselves friends from the SIP. Mm-hmm. They're from Mississippi. And they had, the week before, they had been at the Coffee County Sheriff Department beside the Cajun Navy setup, and they were cooking food and serving food over there.
Oh, wow.
And they called back to the EMA director and said, or not, might not have been in the EMA director. They called someone, I don't know, so don't quote me on that. They called someone and said, where can we go set up food?
Right.
Broxton had food trucks.
Okay.
We didn't have food trucks. We were cooking everything we did. We had pancakes and sausage one night. We had spaghetti. We had all kind of, we tried to do as much variety with the food that was brought to us. Mm-hmm. We were cooking it and turning it back around too and serving the community with it.
Right.
But somehow they found out about us in prison, and he called me, or Miss Lisa called me, and she's like, hey, we want to come serve y'all. We want to feed y'all one to Saturday. So that Saturday they came down and there was 3 or 4 truckloads of people.
Mm-hmm.
There's 8 or 10 people. They all had their trucks were full. They had a trailer. They brought their own tents. They brought their own camping supplies. So we had what they call pastalaya. Think jambalaya, but it was with noodles. So we had pasta. And they actually had cooked some barbecue to bring. And they had 2 smokers set up. Mm-hmm. And one of the smokers, while they were cooking it the night before they came down, caught on fire. So all that meat got completely gone. But we had barbecue sandwiches from them, and we had the pasta light. And they came, they were there early that morning. They were there all day long till the last person was served, and they went back to Mississippi. And I think they were actually going to load up like the next week or two and go down to Florida and do some serving down there too. So
right.
People came from out of the woodwork, and it was a true blessing.
Let me ask you this, because I mean, with all these people coming in, and of course, you know a lot of the people in your community, but when strangers start coming down to help you,
you cry. I mean, you just squalled.
I imagine. Do you stay in touch with any of these people still?
Yes. So Lisa and my friends from the SIP, we're all Facebook friends. Mm-hmm. I made Facebook friends with the Fishers from Taylor Church, Pastor Muncy. So yeah, we're also Facebook friends, so
we're still keeping track.
We are. And I'm gonna do something, since it's the 1 year anniversary, I'm wanting to do something special for them, and I've got an idea I'm gonna do in mind. I'm surprising with them.
Cool.
Surprise we will, them with it.
We will not mention that right now. So let's fast
they're not
forward.
Listening, so it's fine.
You never know.
Exactly.
Let's fast forward, you know, say let's go 6 months out. You know, at this point, are you starting to see a lot of recovery over there? Are you still seeing tarps on roofs? Because now I've not been to Douglas since yes. Hurricane Helene. And I'll be honest, of course, we tell everybody to stay off the roads and don't go sightseeing immediately following something like that. But because of the fact there were so many first responders out, there were linemen out, like it just wasn't something I was going to plan on taking a trip to see. Right.
We also had the first few days until the major roads, like Highway 32, mm-hmm. 441, the National Guard came in, and they were clearing the roads, too. So they had came in as well as all of our other people.
Oh, wow.
Hopefully, they were clearing the roads.
Okay. So where are we at today over in the Douglas and Bridgen area?
So we still have people that can't move into their homes. We still have folks that have tarps on their homes. We still have people that still have debris in their yards. There's still people that are waiting on assistance and hadn't got the assistance. And there's we have Hope for Coffee now that's helping folks with roofs.
Okay.
Trying to get the roofs done.
So now, do you know how that works or no?
I don't know all the details on that. I do not. Okay.
If you're listening this morning and you can send that information over, please do so. You can shoot it over on our Facebook or to my email, katie@wbyz94.com. We'd like to take a look at that and see if there's anything that we can help out with getting that information out as well.
I'll send you the page, Facebook page too.
That would be great. And now, you know, when you're looking and you're driving like it is here as well, I would say probably not as much as some of the harder hit areas, but you're driving around, you're still seeing tarps on roofs. Are we thinking it's insurance problems, it's FEMA problems, it's people didn't have the money to pay out of their pocket?
Or all the above. All the above.
Okay. And then I know there's some people who just can't get back into their houses. And, of course, the tree limbs, I know for a long time we did some cleanup and restoration because we had services in different areas. But then I guess they left.
Yes, they did. After a certain amount of time, they're gone.
They're gone. And the way the FEMA guy actually told us about that was something about how they help pay the bill. And I guess it's contracted out for only a certain amount of time. And then once that time, it either gets extended or it doesn't, I guess. And then they stop paying the bill. So then I guess then at that point, it's left up to individual counties and cities to take care of that.
That's above my pay grade.
Yeah.
So I didn't get into that part.
Well, and you know, I had James in here a lot. And actually, I've been trying to reach out to him all week. So he must have moved on to a different location, I guess. At this point, he must not be taking care of us. He probably ran after Hurricane Helene hit. He was like, I don't want this job no more.
I don't blame him.
Because I can't imagine that he had any very nice encounters at the FEMA offices he had to go to. So, because everybody was upset. Like, we're trying to figure out, how does FEMA even work? Like, this is not something that we're accustomed to.
Exactly right.
You know, and then everybody was expecting to get the $750 back automatically, you know. And then there was just mass confusion about how FEMA was actually paying out. What portion of that was your insurance, you know. So I kind of felt bad for him. He was new to FEMA.
He was getting darts thrown at him, I'm sure.
I would probably imagine so. So how are we feeling about today? I mean, today's progress, we're still waiting for some of that recovery. Do you think the people are starting to heal at all in their hearts? I mean, that kind of devastation leaves like PTSD. You know, it's a lot. It's a lot on a person. Do you think we're starting to see some healing over in that area? Or no, not yet.
It's 50-50. Okay. Even like, because, you know, me being the weather nerd that I am, even when storms were happening over during the summer, thunderstorms, people were scared and making comments on Facebook about how Helene still had them shook. Because we had a couple of wind storms up in Bridgen that had some high winds that done some damage. And they're like Helene all over again. But it was, of course, not as bad. But
right.
Still, the knowing what we went through and people just having to live through it again, they're still there.
Yeah. And you know, and I don't really think we didn't really address this initially me and Cody and when Lizzie was still here, we did talk a little bit about our experiences that night. But for a long time, I had a prescription for medication because I couldn't sleep in my house because if the wind whipped around my bedroom, because it did that night. Elizabeth had already laid down. And when I had gotten up because I heard a bang or something, I don't know, but I wasn't going to sleep right then anyway. So I went to go see what it was. And when I got back in my bed to watch TV, because we still had power at my house, even though we didn't have power over here. About the time I got in the bed and pulled the covers up, the wind hit the side of my house. And when it did, it pushed my bed across the floor.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, like for a very, very long time, it was very hard for me to go to sleep in my room. And then you let the wind whip around my house. If I hear anything, like, that's the end of it. I'm not going to sleep. Yeah. So, and, you know, I think like, and I'm not a person who gets scared very easily because, you know, I was there for Michael. I've been in a lot of hurricanes. So, but this one, I was actually at home. And I think like my safe place for me has always been at the radio station because we didn't have power here. And I was really thankful that I didn't get up to come back here because I'd never been able to get back to the house.
Right.
Because the trees were blocking all of the roads. And to even get to the end of our road, it was blocked. So, I don't know. I think like for me, and even now I have trouble sleeping, and I sometimes wonder, like, if I hear a little noise, is it reflection from that I'm still having trouble sleeping in the house? But yeah, it was bad.
Well, for me, I didn't stay home. I knew living in Pridgen, so I am a National Weather Service Skywarn Storm Spotter.
Explain to everybody what that means.
So I took the class to be more weather aware. So right. I have the certification. It's just an online class you can take, but it's through the National Weather Service.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, there's two different levels, and I haven't completed the second level, but it's enough to let, we get enough. Pridgen is the cusp of the edge of all the National Weather Service locations.
Oh,
we're
okay.
on the very edge. We're still gotcha. In Jacksonville, but we're so far away. We're on that very edge where you got Warner Robins, you've got this one and that with Peachtree. I mean, right. we're all on that. We're on that corner that nobody acknowledges that much. But we do get a lot of bad weather, and yeah. I 110% agree that the bad weather is from the Ocmulgee River. I mean, that's there's something about that river that serves up storms. It can not get bad anywhere else, but we'll have a tornado in Pridgen. I mean, it's or bad weather.
Wow.
So I decided not, well, the storm spotter thing, but so I took the class just so I could have that to be more weather aware for them down there
yeah.
in Jacksonville and report back to them. But I knew because I was watching like several different apps for the hurricane.
Yeah.
One app had it completely coming over Douglas. It never wavered. It's called,
right.
I say it as Ventusky, but it looks like Ventusky. So
right.
I don't know how you want to say it is, but I watched that app, and on Friday morning when I realized it had not wavered at all, even though everybody else said it was going to hit Tifton, this one had right. it coming over Douglas right on the nose. I went and prepared. That's yeah. when it really hit me. So I went and got food. I went and got drinks, and I did me some chicken quesadillas and the little thing put in my cooler so I'd have some food. And then I stayed at my shop because I knew living in Pridgen on the dirt roads, we'll be with the last people to get out.
Okay.
And I knew I'd be trapped, and I couldn't do anything in the community and couldn't warn people because we have zero cell service right. out there with our, as far as like internet and stuff. So my thought was, I've got to stay at the shop to be able to get the weather out, see if I can help, see what I can do, so I'm not trapped on a dirt road with trees and I can't get out.
Yeah.
So I stayed at my shop downtown, and then we wound up, it was so crazy because Douglas, I was watching at my window as every section of town, the transformers was blowing up and was losing power. And two nights later, I think, the next night or the two nights later, it was, Douglas is never completely pitch black dark, ever. You never see stars mm-hmm. downtown Douglas. And me being the photographer, amateur that I am, I got my camera out one night and sat in front of my store and got pictures of the stars above the courthouse because
wow.
it was just, and it's one of those surreal moments. It's just eerie because it's,
yeah.
you never expect that, but it was, Helene was a life changer for a lot of reasons.
It was. And you know, and it's a historic storm for our area as well, because I think like, you know, even though we were preaching it, and I think I was even telling everybody that I had cut the AC down in my house to like 40, and I kid you not, it was so cold in our house the day before,
mm-hmm.
but I had on winter clothes and several blankets while I was laying on the couch, and Lizzie said, can we just turn the AC up? I'm like, no, because we're fixing to lose power,
yes.
and I know we are, and I know that's what saved us with that little bit of AC left, because we lost power, I don't know, close to 1 o'clock in the morning, and then that was it. We never saw power come back on. And then, of course, we had spotty cell phone service because the Verizon tower was on the radio station tower.
Right.
And it was down. And then Lizzie had a different service, so I was able every now and then to hook onto her hotspot. But we had no way to charge phones at that point, you know. And I think, like, I was just like, you know. And I told Lizzie, I said, this is why we didn't cut the AC up.
Yep.
Because we're about to not have power for a very long time.
I think the shop got power Sunday afternoon because I was going to get gas, because the one thing I didn't do was get gas.
And, yeah, me neither. I'm not gonna lie.
That one of the places was selling gas, and I went and got gas on Sunday and realized the power had come back on, or saw a post about the power coming back on downtown. But the power at my house in Pridgen, actually, the way my grid system is set up with the light lines, my line went across the field that didn't have any damage, but then the where it branched off of my transformer went out, all those poles were down, so myself and my neighbor got power. And shout out to Sumter Utilities, but one of my neighbors actually worked for Sumter.
Oh, okay.
And they turned the power on. They worked the whole area.
Yeah.
Every time we cooked, we made sure they had food. They had lunch, and,
right.
and if we weren't cooking, because he has family there, Dawn, she was cooking food for him, lunch, and everything else. So we took care of our linemen. But they happened, I had a big oak tree across my front yard, and they had went and turned power on down the road, and they were coming back by. And this was the first or second day we had been serving, third day we'd been serving food. And he called me, he asked, Jared Highsmith, he was like, So, how do you like them lights? I'm like, what lights? He said, you've got power. He said, you're going to be one, you and your neighbor's going to be the only ones going to have power off your transformer. I said, well, I'm not home. I said, I'm up here with Dawn still. He said, so you're not home cleaning yards? I'm like, no, I'm not home cleaning yards. He said, so who's at your house cleaning your yards? I'm like, nobody's at my house cleaning my yards. He said, somebody's at your house. I said, no, nobody's at my house. Why? He said, you've got a fire.
Oh, my gosh.
So what happened when they turned the power back on, that power pole arced, sparked, and it caught the grass on fire. My first car was a 1991 Camaro when I was 17.
Yeah.
And the wind, thank God, the wind was blowing south. It caught the car on fire. But if the wind had been blowing north, it would have been my house.
Oh, my
gosh. We're talking 20 foot, 30 foot.
Wow.
So it was that close. But because as they were turning power on, a lot of things happened. But it took, I think, maybe 30 minutes for, and my water was messed up, so I didn't have any water. Mm-hmm. It had messed up right the day before the storm, so I couldn't put it out with the water hose. We were all neighbors. My neighbors came up with tractors and started covering my car. Right. They kind of smothered out till the firemen got there, and so I lost my car. So,
that's so sad,
I'm
though.
I'm broken hearted about that still.
Oh, my gosh. And you know, that's crazy that you still have that car.
Oh, yeah. That's my baby.
Yeah, like the one I got when I was young, I wouldn't have wanted to keep, so. I didn't get nothing really cool like you.
My daddy got me the sports car.
That's really nice. My parents weren't letting me have a sports car. That's why I've had a problem with it ever since.
Dad liked it more so. That's why.
Yeah, he wanted to drive it. He was going to keep it warm for you until you could drive it.
Exactly.
Well, I hate to hear that. And I did see that posted on your Facebook, and I'm thinking to myself, wait, what? Like, so, right. She's so busy over there, you know, serving food and distributing supplies. How does your car catch on fire?
Exactly.
But now that makes sense, now that you've explained it. So,
We actually, after that happened, I mean, the power had already been off for 7 days, so I made them turn mine off at the transformer and behind my house. So I didn't have power for like 2 months at the house.
Oh, my gosh.
So, just because I couldn't be. I was too busy feeding people.
Right.
I couldn't be home for 24 hours to watch the car, so I stayed. Just
stayed.
Keep it off.
Yeah. So out of all of the memories and all of the things that happened during Hurricane Helene, is there any one particular person in a story that stands out to you the most?
So one of my friends, her and her family came by to she had come to get food, and she wanted to make a donation.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was walking back behind the car, I was taking them food and taking them drinks and stuff. And when I walked by the back window, her son said, Miss Wendy, wait a minute. And I rolled down the window. He's like, here's a dollar. He said, I think you need this too. It was a dollar.
Aww.
So that dollar, I swapped out my dollar for it. Mm-hmm. That dollar stays in my wallet. And I told Cassie, I said, this means a lot, just coming from a kid.
Yeah.
And when they brought this up, for a kid to know.
Right.
That's the whole thing. But when like the other people brought supplies and stuff, some of the schools had made cards, mm-hmm. made all kind of scriptures and posted it and had all kind of little letters and stuff. Reading those things at night, when you could just sit back and just see how the community came together.
Right.
And just served. Because we had Preaching Baptist Church. They were serving right the block away from us too. So they were doing, we had volunteers everywhere. And just being able to be that light, to be, fill in that gap. Because, I mean, when you know that there's an older couple that don't have power, all their food's gone in the refrigerator, all their food's gone in the freezer, they have crackers left with cheese. Yeah. I mean, I walked in, I was scared. We actually delivered some meals, and I walked in and saw that going on, and breaks your heart.
It does.
Then knowing the greater purpose of how everybody did work as one unit and one team, not just in Preaching, but Broxton, Douglas, Ambrose, everybody in other places in Southeast Georgia. I mean, everybody came together to help somebody else.
You know, and I think that's really important, because all too often we see on social media a lot of people arguing together. But after Hurricane Helene, there were no religions. You know what I mean? Like, there was no hatred. It didn't matter who you were standing by. If you were serving food, you were serving food together.
Yep. That's right.
Your beliefs at that point are thrown out the window, because in the moment, in a moment of devastation, it has a unit that brings everybody together in unity. And I think that that is so rare. And I think in some ways we were kind of blessed to be able to have that unity. And I think a lot of the times we need to kind of refocus our vision on that and think back to the times when we stood shoulder to shoulder with someone who had a different religion than us. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, we're all human beings.
Right.
And in a time of need like that, when you see other human beings suffering, you know, if that's not pulling your heartstrings out, then you're doing something terribly wrong.
Exactly. There was a lot of humble tears shed post Helene during all the serving and everything else. I mean, it was rewarding, if nothing else, being able to be there and be the feet and the hands of Jesus to be able to help others and to see everybody else help. Because, I mean, you had Steve Carver and Linda Carver with the EMA directors. Or Stevie is, Linda's right there with you, so she's the assistant. We're gonna give her official position, Linda. So you had them working around the clock. You had the firemen. You had law enforcement. You had the hospital doing everything they could. You had everybody just pull the emergency management. I mean, you had police, law enforcement,
right?
The hospital. So everybody was pulling together to make sure everybody was taken care of. I mean, that's our community. Went above and beyond. We weren't prepared for this, and we got it, and
and we made it.
We made it.
The storm that was supposed to break us made us.
Yes.
It determined who we were going to be in the days to come, I think.
It's still kind of
surreal.
When you ride around and you're so used to seeing all these pine trees.
Right.
And now there's no pine trees. Everything's been cleared off because it's just all the trees were damaged.
Empty.
And then
you can
see which way the storms were, because the trees are still leaning over because of the strong winds. And I might get in trouble for this, or somebody might say something. But anyway, it's not trouble. Let's rephrase this. So there was a post floating around on Facebook that we had that supposedly the National Weather Service said that we had 15, 20 tornadoes during Hurricane Helene. But there is no record of the tornadoes coming through, because around 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock that night, both of our National Weather Service radars had gone completely down.
Right, that's right.
So we couldn't really see what was going on. So we can't. There is no official record. I mean, you can see it and know what it was.
Right.
But as far as an official record of knowing, there was nothing put out by the National Weather Service.
And you know, I think, and now that you brought that up, I think back to that night. And once the power went down at the radio station, I already knew, I think at that point, that we had already lost Jacksonville.
Yes, we had.
And at that point, like, we were on our own.
Oh, yeah.
So we were. And you really don't know what's going on. And like for us, we were in that house in that hall for a very long time with the tree limb that came through the roof, and there's water leaking in, and we've got all our pets, and you're just not really sure what's going on. And all you hear for hours on hours is just beating of things up inside your house. And you're just praying. You're just praying at that point. And then at one point, we just decided we'd start calling the family, because I really thought at 3:45 in the morning or 3:36 or whatever it was, we weren't going to see daylight.
Oh, yeah.
So, but I knew once Jacksonville went down, and I still had cell phone service at that point, because I guess our tower was still up.
Right.
So I still had cell phone service, and I could see where people were saying, oh, Jacksonville's gone down.
Jacksonville went down and Warner Robins.
Right.
So we had nothing.
There was nothing.
And Valdosta.
Yeah.
Radar. So all those were in the line of the storm. Those were literally down before 10:30 that night.
Exactly. So, I mean, at that point, we really wouldn't have been able to receive alerts anyway, even here at the station, if we would have had power. They still would have probably not have been transmitted. Although I would assume that probably other weather centers pick up some of that slack.
Right.
I would think that they can still issue warnings and stuff like that. But as for tornado warnings, I don't really know how that would work.
Well, because the way in the storm spotter class, they talk about, because not all, the way the earth is curved, not flat,
right.
The way the radars read, you can pull it up on one radar because it's closer to the ground where the earth is curved versus this one up here can't really see it because it's too far away and it's too curved up, so it hits below where the radar is and it can't catch it on the radar. So
yeah,
but yeah, it's it's fun watching the weather stuff.
Yeah, it is fun watching the weather stuff. I really wish that I'd have went to college to be a meteorologist. I think that would have been a whole lot of fun.
Mine's just hobby fun.
Yeah, like I really have thought about that in the past because someone asked me one time why I didn't go into TV, and I'm like, well, first of all, I don't really like film and video. I mean, I do it because everybody else does it, and it's the thing. And all, but yeah, like I'm not big on the whole TV thing, so. But I kind of think like I could have been a meteorologist in the background.
Mm-hmm. That'd be fun.
That would have been really fun. Well, thank you for so much for coming over here and hanging out with us today. Yes. It's just it's an inspirational story just hearing it coming from you and you telling it from, you know, your standpoint, because all I ever saw was how you were posting. You know what I mean? Right. So I see what you're posting, and you kind of feel like you're there with that person, but you know there's a lot of other things going on. Right. So you're like, you're trying to keep up with everybody and what they're going through emotionally. And you know, like everybody's just worn down. They're tired. They're exhausted. But that drive to continue serving will just keep you going. It's like an adrenaline rush to make sure people are taken care of.
And I kind of compare it to, you know, you had meat and the sandwich meat and you had the bread, and it's back to Jesus where he fed the 5,000, and I can see in that time frame we fed about 5,000 people. That it's not including the care packages that went out, but like as far as meals that we counted for, there was roughly 5,000 easy, because like I said, the first 3 days we had 1,500.
That's insane.
So
that's just insane to me to think that you just pulled all this together like on a whim. And that everything just went so smoothly.
Jesus. Well, I mean there were some days I was stressed beyond max, but it was a learning process. We're prepared for the next one, but yes, hopefully that never comes. But just knowing what you do and how you've got to do it, and just organization and getting it done and just going and helping the next person that tries, because you don't know what they're going through.
You really don't. And I always say that too, like, you know, it's all too often we see people on Facebook complaining about the service they got somewhere. You know, you don't know what that waiter or waitress or that person who rang you up is going through.
Right.
You don't know that they even have a house to live in at that point.
Exactly.
You don't know. So the fact that you have the audacity to go on social media and post something nasty about that person, you know.
And it's not even that it had to be storm related.
Yeah.
Everybody goes through so much stuff each day that people just don't know about.
Yeah. I mean, every day you can't see everybody's, well, I call them the cuts and the scrapes. Because
exactly,
a lot of that stuff is inside. So you just see the outside package.
Exactly.
So you never know. Well, thank you so much for being
on the
show.
Well, it has been an honor. And I thank y'all so much for doing everything that y'all did, because y'all went above and beyond as well.
No, we just wanted to try to get that information out.
Well, you were pushing it out on everybody's stuff, and it was amazing. I mean, it was good that you were keeping everybody up to date on what was going on in all the communities, not just Baxley, just Preston, Douglas, everywhere.
And that was one of the biggest things. And I'll be honest, because you know I'm not from here, so I had a Georgia State map. I had to get out and look up all the counties.
Right.
Because I'm not from this part of the state. And right, so, like, you know, I know Douglas. I've been to Alma. I've been to Waycross. But I didn't know all the small places.
Right.
So I literally, those first couple of nights, because I started staying here once we had power. We had generator power here at the station. I started staying back at my house, and I didn't have power. But while I was at Dad's house, if I could get it off my phone, it was going into like a file on my phone so I could pull it up in a hurry and get it printed out. And of course, this building was just on limited power at that point. And I'll never forget, like, we needed, and I actually did go to Warner Robins to pick these up one night. It had been a very long day. And I ran into the Best Buy, and I was supposed to be buying 5 wireless adapters. So I walked in. And I don't even remember, like, halfway getting into there. And so Lizzie's with me, and I go in, and I tell the person in the back, hey, I need 5 wireless adapters because I got to get some studio stuff up. So she hands me 5 adapters. I don't look at them. I get back down here to the radio station the next day, and they're wrong. It was the wrong thing.
Gosh.
She handed me the wrong thing. So we get on the phone, and we call down to Brunswick, down to one of the stores down there. They're like, it becomes this huge ordeal, and like, listen, we need this because we have got to get on the air because we have people who need this information. So I get down there, and they were supposed to hold me 5, and so it was me and Lizzie and Cody. So we go into this store, which I shall not name, and I'm like, okay, I'm here to pick up the 5 wireless adapters. Well, we don't have 5 now, and I'm going to tell you, girl, I like lost my crap at that point because I was like, oh, no. No.
I've driven this far.
Yeah, like that was the whole reason we called before we came down. And so then the guy is like, well, I think we might have 3. I'm like, well, I want to take all 3 at this point because you were supposed to be holding them. And at one point, I picked up the 3 and turned around to walk off. And the guy is automatically starting to talk to me about needing a job to do some voiceover work or something. And Lizzie says, Mama, I think he's talking to you. I said, he really isn't, not right now. He doesn't want me to respond. I promise right now is not the time. Because my whole, like, focus at that point was, we were so close to having computers up here at the building. Was like, oh, no, now I got to take this next, what, 3-4 hours out of my day to go get something that I didn't pay attention to last night because I was so tired when I got home.
Exactly.
And I was like, you know, this is already bad, but I know he ain't talking to me. Like, I was about to show out up in there, and I was like, we better hurry up and get Mom out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And Lizzie said, go, Cody, go. Like, you call me when people have food, water, and gas, and we'll talk.
Right.
Not right now.
Mm-hmm.
Not when you were supposed to hold me 5.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, like, I think, like, at that point, it was just a mission, and I was pretty much like you. Like, I got up the next day when I opened my front door, and the sun was starting to come out, and I'm walking around and looking, and Liz is like, oh, my gosh. And I walked down to the road, and the trees were down. And I'm like, I need to be able to get on your hotspot. And I immediately posted on my Facebook, I need generators and I need two. And I knew that I needed big ones, but I didn't really know how big or what, you know what I mean? So I'm like, I need your phone. I need you to stand in this spot. I need to make a phone call to some engineering people. And like, I'm calling all these people and I'm calling Jen and Jimmy. I'm like, hey, we're about to get generators for the radio station. They're like, we don't need generators. I'm like, oh, yes.
We do.
Yes, we do. And so like, and then they kept telling me, are you sure this is going to work? And at that point, I really wasn't sure, but I was like, oh, yeah, it's going to work. It's going to work one way or the other. Like, we're going to get what we need up and on the air. I don't know how right now. And I can't really explain to you how this is going to work, but I promise you, I have called everybody I know, and everybody I know who works at the radio station says this work. And so at that point, I was on a mission, and I told Natalie, because she was going to bring a trailer load full of stuff down from Myrtle Beach. And she was like, Mama, I need you to leave and go to Daddy's house or Papa's house. And I said, Natalie, I can't. I said, I'm not leaving my people.
Yep, same.
I just got back here, and I don't know how to help them right now. I said, but until I figure out how to get that radio station back on the air, we're not leaving from down here.
Right.
Your sister can go, but I'm not leaving from down here until I get this worked out. And so at that point, I mean, I know James Earl would come by and he'd be like, you need to go home. And I'm like, I'm almost done. I'm still working on stuff. I'll leave here shortly. He's like, no, you need to go home now. I'm like, y'all just need to leave me alone. Like, I'm just trying to make all this stuff work.
Well, that's walking out the next morning. I'm sure it was a shock. Like,
well, you know, I really thought that part of our house was going to be missing because there was just such a long period of several hours that we just kept hearing this beating on the back of our house. And it literally sounded like someone was using a can opener on like sardines or something.
Oh, wow.
And pulling it. And I just didn't think that, like, I felt like our porch, which was detached at the time, had been, been lifted, and it was beating up against the back of our house. I really didn't know if we were going to have a back of the house at that point. And I had tried to, I wanted to sneak out of my front door several times, but at that point it becomes an issue of safety. Okay, you know, what is the wind speed outside? What if I do open this door? You know, is the air pressure going to blow out by the windows that's directly across? Like at this point, so you're like kind of waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting, and it just seems like it's never going to come.
Well, that's like me. Where I was staying at the shop, the wind was coming from behind.
Yeah.
So I could open the front door. I think I did get some videos. I don't even know if I posted all of them. And I did get pictures. But like the next morning, I got up. I started at 6 when it was still dark. And I'm like, I probably need to wait till daylight. So I waited till daylight and went and walked around town and took hundreds of pictures of everything for everyone. Went downtown, checked all the stores downtown for all my fellow business owners who didn't know if there's businesses survived or not. So I walked downtown with the camera so I could go back and upload them just so people could have them.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. And you know, like, we did finally leave, I want to say it was a second day, to go to Dad's house. And I'm glad Lizzie didn't try to leave before me. She took her car, I took mine, and I was driving. And we knew that the damage was really bad in Hazelhurst because we could see that we have a lot of people in Hazelhurst. But past Hazelhurst, I wasn't really sure. So as we were coming into McRae and we were pulling into that red light, let's see, is that the first one? I think it is. I think there's the first one's over there by that big factory. Then you go on down and the road splits and you come to right past the McDonald's, there's a red light. And when we got to that light, every road was blocked. There was something in every road.
Oh, wow.
So at that point, I don't know McRae. I've only driven in McRae down that one way to get to Baxley. And so I am literally at this point thinking to myself in the back of my head, oh, please don't let it. You know, like, I'm already upset because I got Lizzie down here and I brought her down here. And it's like, I'm trying to keep her safe at this point. And I'm like, oh, please let us be able to get out of here. Because at that point, I didn't know if we were going to be able to make it to the other side. And so, like, we followed some folks. And, like, I was just following cars. If they turned, I turned. And we probably went in a maze all over McRae to be able to get back on the same road that we had just gotten off of. It probably took 20 minutes to get back to that little road, and it was probably only like 15 seconds past where we had gotten to, but I was scared, and I was like, oh my gosh, I hope these power lines aren't live. You know what I'm saying? And
you're that just was the driving. Biggest fear was people don't realize if a power line is down, always treat it as being live. Because you never know.
You don't know. And so, like, I was thinking to myself, okay, I sure hope that thing about being in a car and having tires is going to work. Because you're just driving over massive lines. And there's still red lights just hanging by a thread.
Oh, yeah.
And they're swinging above you as you're driving under it. You know, and then there are people dodging it because they've got bigger vehicles. And then we finally get to the other side. And I got cell phone service. And I thought, I'm starving. Like, I need something to eat. So we go into Dairy Queen and Eastman to get some food, and that place is packed.
Of course.
And, of course, you know, it's the people from down here who've tried to find somewhere to go get some food. So we got Dairy Queen, and then we went on to Hawkinsville and stopped again. I think we got coffee the next time. I don't remember what we got at McDonald's. And everybody in there, they were all from even further south than here. I think some of them were from Waycross. It was crazy. And they're like, we just needed food. And you'd be standing in somewhere that was an hour and a half from where we're at right now, and everybody was just up there. They're just looking for some way to get that food, get the supplies, and be able to go get groceries or ice or whatever you needed at that point. It was just crazy. Every time we'd pull in somewhere, get gas, it would be somebody from down here.
Well, we had people stopping that were going to their hunting clubs up in, they were from parts of Florida, and they were going up to McRae, and they saw what we were doing, and would actually come by and, hey, you need anything? Y'all need anything? And people were, even strangers just passing through were checking on us.
Yeah.
To see if we needed to, we were trying to give food to the linemen. We were trying to give other food to everybody that's passing through that we could.
Yeah. So. And I'll tell you, like, Elizabeth, and people started making donations because they knew we were down here. They knew Lizzie and I were down here. So someone, and I can't remember if it was students or teachers that she had worked with before, somebody sent her a large sum of cash in the middle of the night. And whenever we woke up, you know, we were trying to get back down here at sunlight. But I didn't want to drive. I did not want to drive from McRae here. I wanted the sun to be just coming up so I could see the road.
Right.
And all. And so she got up and she said, Mama, you know, so-and-so donated $500. You know, what do you want to do with it? And I'm like, well, I don't know. Let me call down there to Jan and Elle and see what we need. And I kid you not, I ain't took two steps into my bathroom to take a shower, and a message came in on from our Facebook off Z94. And it was somebody saying that the nursing home in Lumber City needed food and water. I said, Lizzie, scratch that. I said, we're going to get whatever we can get in our cars. I'm going to need you to drive, and we're about to take everything we can take to the nursing home in Lumber City. And it was almost like God had spoke to me, like, right then. Like, I had just told her, I'm like, I don't know, we'll just go load up at this point. Let me call down there, you know? And it was just, like, immediately dinged in my phone. And it was a message on the back end.
That's who it was for.
Yeah, and, like, we pulled in at the nursing home in Lumber City. And I really, it wasn't the person who worked there who contacted us. So they are now massively confused while we're bringing all this stuff. Like, we just showed up with all this stuff. And we took ice, like, whatever we could get into our two cars.
Right.
It was what we took to the nursing home. Well, then we still had money left over. And the Walmart manager in Perry had told me, he was like, whatever you need, you bring a trailer, you bring a truck, you come get whatever you need. And I'm like, okay, how do we get the rest of the stuff back down to the nursing home? Because I didn't want to have to keep making trips.
Right.
So I went on my Facebook, and somebody I didn't even know who was on my Facebook was like, hey, I have a truck and a trailer, and I live on the other side of Perry. Can you cash out me the money? And now I'm thinking to myself, I done cashed out this person money. Please, God, let that stuff get over to the nursing home. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't think about it while you're doing it, but then when you think about it after you've done it, you're like, know that person
exactly.
And so anyway, she and her husband actually brought a truck and trailer load full of stuff from Dollar General close to their house, whatever they could get on the truck and trailer, which then started an initiative that she started dropping off supplies all over Southeast Georgia. Then they started raising donations to take to North Carolina. So that one situation changed her forever too.
Oh, yeah.
And it changed her direction. And even though we had so much going on down here, like, I was still able to see what she was doing. And I was like, holy crap. Like, you know, me posting that one post has sparked the fire in this woman and her family. And she was taking up donations from all over to take up. It was crazy. Just crazy.
It's amazing. Social media can be great for some things.
Yeah, but not for that arguing stuff.
No.
Yeah.
But for bringing people together to be able to have points of contact. Because you couldn't have television, so that right there, charging your phone in your car, was our next best thing to get word out of where to go get supplies from, where to get food from.
Yeah. Like, and I'll be honest, like used to back in the day, people would send stuff to the radio station. Everything that we announced on the radio station was something that Cody and I were on Facebook screenshotting, sending the phones. And that's why I laughed. I'm like, oh, you don't remember? I got it. Hold on, because I've got a box full.
Y'all, she has a whole box over here, like a manila file folder box full of everything that was posted, because I actually went through it and found some of my stuff.
At one point, I stopped printing them every day, and I just started writing the dates down that we had announced it. So that way I could keep up with, in case I missed something, that I could go back and look through that days. And then I would make copies and put it up front for Elle in case somebody came in and said, hey, where do I find food? I'm from this area. And she could flip through the pages and see what I had talked about on the radio.
So y'all worked as hard as we did.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes.
I didn't get to do the great stuff like you did.
You got the microphone done a lot.
Well, it did. And we were very grateful that we were able to get back on the air. And of course, you know, it really makes you reevaluate your game plan for emergency situations.
Yes.
And I'll tell you this, like when I worked down in Dothan, and that's where I learned all of my weather training and all of how to deal with these emergency type situations, because there's always a storm in the Gulf. I actually, not too long ago, sent a message to the station owner and said, hey, I just wanted to tell you thank you.
For all the training.
For all that training, because I don't think we would have been able to have gotten through it over here if I had not have worked with those engineers and I had not worked with those people and they had not trained me on how to handle things. Because the first time a hurricane hit down there, I thought I was going to lose my mind in that room. It was scary. So, and then we were on the air, like we had generators. So we were always at the station and you just never stop. Like it was weeks on weeks of answering phones and trying to get information out. So it was crazy.
Y'all do great work. And we appreciate y'all more than y'all know.
Well, we appreciate that. And we appreciate you. Thanks so much.
It's called team. It was a team effort for everyone. There was no I. It was just the right place, right time. And everybody came together.
And, you know, I think that's the biggest thing. Like, you know, we think of heroes as being these people with super capes. And they're really not. Like, you know, heroes don't always wear capes. They can be the person standing right next to you.
I will say every volunteer that stood on those grounds with me, I consider them heroes.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it was amazing.
What they gave.
Nothing short of amazing. Everything the way everything happened like it did so quick.
And just being able to get that community taken care of. That's just insane. I do hate that you didn't get to go to your presidential thing, though.
Oh, yeah, I do, too, because, you know, he passed away, so I don't get that opportunity again. But
I know
I did it for the greater good.
You did, and I'm pretty sure he would have agreed with that greater good, because I knew him very well. So
he did a lot of that type stuff.
Yeah.
I can't think of the right word. My brain's crying.
Well, you know, it's okay. And, you know, because he has all that stuff down there where he lives, too, in the Plains or whatever. We used to go. But my family's very political back home. And so they were very tight with the family. So, yeah.
Yeah. But he did a lot of this type work overseas and at different places, too. So, he I think doing what I did was what I was supposed to do.
And absolutely.
He would totally agree.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it, girl.
And I'm going to go ahead and put a plug and say this.
Sure.
If I missed anybody, and I know I have because I know I missed some churches' names, I'm sorry. I can't remember everybody's names. Couldn't find all my paperwork. But anybody that helped us in Coffee County, especially in Pridgen, I thank y'all from the bottom of my heart for being, again, the hands and feet of Jesus and doing what y'all did to help make sure everybody in our community and the surrounding counties, because we had people come from all over. Thank y'all for everything, for stepping up and helping me and being right there beside me and doing everything that y'all did.
That's so sweet. Girl, you're about to cry. Don't cry.
I can't.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You're going to make me cry. Oh my gosh.
Don't need to do that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, we're going to be shedding tears in here. I don't know who's next up in here, but I'm going to tell you what. Bring tissues.
I'm going to get that started.
All right, girl. Well, thank you so much, and we appreciate you. And, of course, we'll be back with more. We are talking about Southeast Georgia Strong a year after Helene.